Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Lamed Chet of Sefer Yechezkel, chapter 38 of the book of Yechezkel. As I mentioned in the previous chapter, it is known as the Haftarah for Shabbat Chol Hamoed of Sukkot, for the intermediate Shabbat of Sukkot, and it deals with the famous topic of the Milchemet Gog u'Magog. So there's really, if you want to do any amount of research on it, there's a tremendous literature in Chazal. About this war of Gog and Magog, when they come to fight against the Jewish people. Part of what's interesting about it is that it's not clear who Gog and Magog. Gog is the king, name of the king, and Magog is the name of the country. But Magog, so Rashi and Radak both noticed that in Breishit, it's one of the descendants of Yefet, is Magog. So Yefet we commonly think of as Greece, but it's not clear where Magog is, and so the Radak says they call it Magog because they're referring back to that original ancestor, but where geographically that would be is not so clear. So the definition or the delineation who this is unclear. But they're going to come, we're going to see in the Perek, they're going to come, there's going to be a great war. I will mention here that the Gemara in Shabbos talks about, Rabbi Shimon Pazi says that if you eat three seudot faithfully on Shabbat, if you, in other words, celebrate Shabbat properly in terms of its eating, which would mean the three meals of Shabbos, you're safe from three different times of trouble that are going to come to the world. One is Chevlo Shel Mashiach. So there is a tradition in Chazal that the time just before Mashiach comes, and the definition of just before is unclear, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or 100 years, but the time just before Mashiach will be a time of troubles. You'll be safe from that. Medina Shel Gehinom, from the full, I would assume it's the full judgment in Gehinom, and Umimilchemet Gog u'Magog, and from the wars of Gog u'Magog. I find that interesting because it means that the wars of Gog u'Magog are separate from, we'll see that also in the Perek, are separate from or distinct from Chevlei Mashiach. So it's not before Mashiach comes. Mashiach is going to come, and then there will still yet after that still be a Milchemet Gog u'Magog. I mention this because, and to be personal for a second, because when I came out with a book in which I thought of the times of Mashiach as not yet having finished off all of the business of the world in terms of bringing the world to understand Hashem, so many people were saying, well, no, when Mashiach comes, it'll all be over. We don't have to worry about that anymore. So the Milchemet Gog u'Magog is an example where that's not so clear as to what the timing of all these things will be. Now, in each one of those, the reason why the Gemara says so is that when Moshe Rabbeinu talks to the Jews about the man, he says, Ichluhu Hayom, and the reference to Hayom, there are three references to Hayom there in talking about the eating of the man, and so Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, in the name of Shimon ben Levi, in the name of Bar Kapara, notices that in each of these three situations of Pur Anut, of times of trouble, the word Yom is used as well. There's an emphasis on Yom. So I think the suggestion in that Gemara would be that the experience of Yom Shabbat properly and appropriately would be a kind of a protection against these Yoms or something along those lines. So that's an example of, I won't go into many more because it is a reasonably sized parak, but that is an example of the reverberations of Milchemet Gog u'Magog in Jewish thought, that it is an expected and a fearsome time. So Pasuk Aleph, Vayid Rashem Yalai Lemor, Ben Adam Sim Panecha El Gog Eretz Magog, put your face towards Gog, the king of the land of Magog, Nesi Rosh Meshech V'Tuval, who's also the leader of Meshech and Tuval, other places. So the Radak notes that it means that he also rules over those places as well. V'hina Ve'elav, and give a prophecy towards him. I find it interesting that the idea seems to be that he's the king of Magog, right? He's Melech. We think of him as Melech. Kach Shem HaMelech is what Rashi says in the Radak also. Says that he was Melech Magog, and then the Radak has it as Umelech Shnei Umot Ha'Elam, but the Pasuk says Nasi. So I wonder whether it might imply that while Gog is the king of Magog, he has a broader influence over other places that he is Nasi Rosh Meshech V'Tuval. So let's say, not that it ever came down to a war of Gog and Magog, but let's say in the former Soviet Union, so the leader of the former Soviet Union might have been more directly the ruler of, let's say, of inside parts of it, let's say what we call now Russia, and was by extension ruler over the Eastern Bloc, right, over those countries. So maybe that would have some of the sense of Nesi Rosh Meshech V'Tuval that we're talking about, although not that in that particular, I'm not using that as the specific example, I'm just saying that would be what might be referred to here. Pasuk Gimel V'Amarta Ko Amar Hashem Elokim Hinani alecha gog nesirosh meshech tuva. So you should say to him, this is what Hashem says to you, I am turning towards you, Gog, the head of Meshech V'Duval, v'shuvav ticha, v'natati chachim bilchayecha, v'otzeti otcha v'kol chaylecha, susim u'farashim, levushei michlol kulam. I am going to, shuvav ticha, the JPS has it as, I will turn you around. Rashi says, v'shuvav ticha means, e'ese otcha shuvav, right? Somebody, and then he says that when you just do whatever you want, kol ha'olich b'shirut libo is called the shovav. So, and the Radak thinks it already means, no, I'm going to break you, ashabercha, or selam ashaber libcha, ad shetitavel avod, so I'm going to break your heart, so shovav ticha, when I'm going to take control over you. Rashi says to think that if I'm going to make you do what you want, but then Rashi also says, I'm going to put hooks into your cheeks, so, Rashi says that you tend to put those kinds of hooks into animals, and to be led by that. So it's usually through the nose and then through the lechayayim. But let's say you put a quick hole through the lechayayim, therefore you can pull the animal by a leash there. So then, but then Rashi says, not that I'm going to actually pull you and drag you there, but begamani atin belibcha hirhurin v'yetzer hamoshecho tcha me'artzcha l'avolot Yisrael. So it's very similar to what the Radak says, meaning that Hashem is saying, you go, you're going to think of yourself as important and as powerful. I'm going to cause it that you're going to find it inside of you to want to come against the land of Israel. And I'm going to draw you and your whole army and the horses and the riders, and they're all going to be wearing their splendid garments, their splendid uniforms. Kahal Rav Tzinau Magen, it's a big group of people, and they're going to have swords and shields. Tzina Magen, Tzina is armor and shield. Tofsei Charevot Kulam, holding swords all. I mean, you've got this well-financed, well-armed group of army, and you're going to come against me. I'm going to cause you to come against me. Paras, Kush, Ufut, Itam, Kulam, Magen, Bechova. And you're going to have other nations coming with you. So that goes back to what I said before, that Gog and Magog, not only their own power, but they're going to have with them other nations that are going to join them. It's going to be an alliance, a coalition of those who are coming with Gog u'Magog. Gomer v'chol agapeha, Beit Togarma, Yagadei Tzafon red kol agapav, Amim rabi mitach. So Gomer and all of its regions and all of its cohorts, what the English has, all of its those who attach themselves to it, Beit Togarma, and the areas of the north and all of those who go with that, and they're all, many, many nations are going to come with you. Right? So Pasuk Zayin, Hikon v'hachin lecha, ata v'chol kehalecha nikhalim alecha, v'yita lahem limishmar. So he says to them, so get ready for what you're about to do. Right? You're going to pay attention to your soldiers. That's what Rashi says. That's the general way of kings, that they do that. How they're going to go out, and how they're going to stand, and they're going to make strategy, and what they're going to do to make sure that they win. So Hashem says, yeah, do all of that. Do all of that work, trying to think that you can win. Mi'amim rabim tipakid b'achrit hashanim tavo el eretz mishovevet mecherev mekubetzet mi'amim rabim al harei Yisrael ha'shayil v'chor bat tamid v'hi mi'amim hutza'a v'yeshvu levetach kulam. So, it's been a long time since Rashi reads it as mi'amim rabim tipakid. You're gonna be punished for things you did a long time ago. That it was a long time ago that you sinned, not that you did tshuva, but that you sinned a long time ago, and then I already had it from back then decided that you will get your punishment. You'll come to the land of Israel, and the land of Israel, after all, is a land that's going to have been desolate and lacking in swords for a long time, and now its exiles have returned to it, and they've been returned to it. Rashi says, Ayidei Cherev Ayev, it was the swords of their enemies that sent them there, and they, and v'hu me'amim hutza, and you should have noticed, Rashi says, that she left all these other nations, and that Hashem was taking care of the Jewish people and bringing them back. So that should have stimulated you to understand that here we are at a time of acharit hayamim, that a time of the end of days. Acharit hashanim is the phrase here, and you should have understood that. So the Radak points out, Bacharit HaShanim, this goes back to what I said at the beginning of the shiur today, Zeh Yiyeh Be'et HaYeshua, Achar Tzeit Kol Yisrael Mehagalut Orubam. This will be in the time of the redemption, after all of the Jewish people have left exile, or the majority of them. So I mention that because when we talk about Kibbutz Galiot, redemption, the ingathering of the exiles, it's sometimes unclear to me whether people understand that we are witnessing some kind of ingathering of exiles. We see people going back to Eretz Israel, and then the question we would naturally want to ask ourselves is this a fulfillment of Nevuot that we see and that we read and that we're in the process of seeing and reading? So in this case, the Radak tells us that we're not even ready for Gog and Magog. So let's say I wanted to say that World War II was Gog and Magog. So there would be a few problems with that. First, one simple problem with one here. I think there are other problems too, but one simple problem with one here, that the majority of the Jews had not yet returned to Israel at that point. So you hadn't had a kibbutz Galiot, and this Gog and Magog is being defined as happening, at least according to the Radak, at the time of the redemption, which is after the majority of the Jews have gone back to Israel, and that's something that is on the verge of happening. It might happen in the next 20, 50 years, but it hasn't quite happened yet. So the Radak also says that it's from the time of Alexander. So that's the king of Greece. The Radak seems to be thinking that happened, and Alexander, the king of Greece, comes after Yechezkel. So it would already be a nevuah, a prophecy about the future, if Yechezkel was referring to him. But that the Radak says that it's from that time, he's quoting that they say that from that time, Magog was locked up off in the north. Right? And that's why it says, Miyamri Remi Tipaket, Klomar, Tizkor Befi Tizacher Befi Bnei Olam Betzidcha. When you come out of there, they'll all know that it's been a long time since you've come out. So what nation that'll refer to when that is, we'll have to wait and see, but that's the image, is of a nation that sometimes from the time of the Greeks has already been locked up in its own place and has stayed in its own place, and then will come out thinking that it can challenge Hashem and will come to Eretz Israel. Ve'alita kashoah tavo ki'anan l'chasot ha'aretz tiyeh atav v'chol ha'kapecha v'amim rabim otach. And you'll come out like, so here you have the word shoah, and here it means, Rashi says, kechoshech ha'mechaseh ta'aretz, like a darkness. We nowadays in modern Hebrew use shoah for a Holocaust, but it comes from here. These are one of the places, and Rashi thinks it's a darkness that comes, and the Radak says the Shoah is kamon mayim rabim shabayim pitam, like a flood of waters that washes you away, that comes very, very suddenly. So you're going to come like that. It's going to be an onrush, a darkening like a cloud that covers the earth, you and all of those who have attached themselves to you, all of your armies, all of your allies, and many, many nations with you. Kol marashim hakim, pasig yud. So at that time you're going to have bad thoughts, and you're going to come up with wrong ideas. The land of Israel is all open, so I'll go against it. I will attack those who are sitting there in silent and quietly, and they think that they are safe. Yoshri lavetach. There's no wall, and they don't have gates, and they don't have fortifications in their cities. They don't have the bars and the gates in the city. In other words, they seem to be defenseless. So how the definition of defenseless will be in our times, we don't rely on walls all that much anymore anyway because of the advances in modern technology. So it might be, some new missile form that they think we can rain down on them, they have the way of protecting themselves from. So that's what Gog will be saying to themselves. And you're coming because you think you're going to take spoils and plunder. You're going to put your hand against these cities that have become repopulated. You're going to attack these people who have been gathered from among all the nations. And this people is trying to just build an economy. So Mekneve Kinyan is cattle, livestock, and possessions. And they sit Atabur Haaretz in the middle of the earth, meaning they sit in a very good location. It's just been often noticed that Eretz Israel is, in terms of mattering to the world, has always been a very central location for the world. And you're going to come, Gog is going to come against them and try to take some of that. So Shiva, Udadan, Vizacharei, Tarshish, V'chol, Kefira, Yomru Lecha, Halishlo, Shalala, Tava, Halavoz, Baz, Hikalta, Kealecha, Laseg, Kesef, Vizahav, Lakacha, Mignev, Kinyan, Lishlo, Shalal, Gadol. Right? And all the nations around, Shiva and Dedan, they're all going to say to you, is that what you're coming for? You're coming are you coming to take possession of all this? Are you coming to take spoils? Right? And And Rashi thinks when it says that Shiva Udidan Kifireha, it means the merchants who know the economy well, they know where the good places are. Razak thinks it's just her kings and her officers. Rashi puts it as the people who know her merchandising well and therefore know where the good best place is to go to take spoils and say, oh, you're looking for spoils, here's a good place. I would also point out just that what Rashi said that Arima and Necharavot, right, that you are coming, that the plan is to destroy them, not just take over them and take tribute from them, but destroy them again as they were once destroyed. So that's what Hashem is, that's sort of the challenge that Hashem is issuing to Gog. He's saying, I know this is what you're going to be thinking, this is what you're going to be planning. Pasuk Yudalel, Lachain Hinave, Venadam, Vamarta, Lago, Ko, Amar Hashem Elokim, Halova Yamahu, Beshevet, Ami Yisrael, Lavetach, Teda. So you'll know on that day when my Jewish nation lives Lavetach, you will know what we'll know. You'll know, I think you'll know, you'll understand me. You'll know my plan. You'll know that I am the one running things. On Son Yudalid, Atahu, on that phrase, I'm sorry. So that's what Hashem says to him. Right? Hashem says to him, you're thinking that you're going to, that you're going to know what I'm doing. You'll come from your place from the north, with all of your nations, you're going to go against the Jews, like a cloud that covers the earth. It's going to happen at the end of days, and I'm going to bring you to my land, so that the nations can fully know me when they see that I become sanctified through you, Gog. So just think about the progression of events that we've seen in this Sefer, even just in the Sefer, in terms of the Acharei Tayamim, in terms of the comings of the knowledge of God. So you've had the predictions to the various nations that we saw. You had Tsor as an important nation there. Then you had Mitzrayim as an important nation there. And then you had the Jews seeming to come back to Eretz Yisrael and to experience their salvation. Then you had the reference to Amalek. I'm sorry, not Amalek, to Seir and Edom, and to Seir learning their lesson properly and being left out of the national future of the Jewish people because they refused to join in the brotherly love that they should have been experiencing and participating in. And now, after all of that, and after the Jews come back, and after the Jews are living securely, none of which, that part I think we haven't seen yet, the Jews are just living securely and comfortably without any problems, and then Gog is going to come against them, and that's where Hashem steps in to say, and now all the nations will see me when I am mitkadesh, when I am sanctified through you, Gog. So here, it's worth, I think, pointing out that this isn't just happenstance. It's not that Hashem happens to know that some nation will make the bad choice of deciding to fight against the Jewish people at this stage of Jewish history. This is assumed by Chazal, and Radak mentioned it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. David Zainab and Aleph says that when Eldad and Medad, the two elders who were supposed to go out to be selected, perhaps to be elders, and they didn't. So they were mitten aviv b'machaneh. So the Gemara there gives a couple of possibilities as to what they were, as what they were prophesying about. Rashi gives the most well-known one because it's in Rashi that they said Moshe is going to pass away and Yehoshua is going to lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel. But another possibility in that Gemara there is that Rav Nachman says no, they mentioned Gog and Magog. So if you say that that's true, then it means the idea that there would have to be a Gog and Magog was embedded in our understanding of history from really the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea that there would be one last powerful nation that would feel the need to try to attack the Jews and destroy them, and it would be in their destruction an example for the rest of the world, that seems to be here, and that seems to have been already known, at least in Rav Nachman's view, all the way back in the time of Eldad Umeidad. So Pasuk Yudzayin, Komar Hashem Elokim, Atahu Asher Dibayti B'Yamim Kadmonim. Right, this is the reference that I've already spoken about you in times gone by. B'Yad Avadai Nevei Yisrael Hanibim B'Yamim Ahem Shanim Lahavi Otecha Aleihem. Right, are you the one who I had my various prophets, like Rashi says, like Yechezkel, Zechariah, Chazal say Rabbi Eldad Medad, right? That you have all of these Nevi'im referring to. So then the Radak points out, Zechariah doesn't mention Gog and Magog explicitly, but when you get up to Zechariah, you'll find the Prakim, the chapters that are assumed by Chazal to refer to Gog and Magog. So Hashem says, "So you're the one." Now that already suggests that perhaps the definition of Gog and Magog is not specific, right? So even though I see a Magog in Bereshit, not necessarily that particular geographical land. It's Gog and Magog is the name of a land that will develop a coalition, develop friendships with Paras and Cush and Put, but what those nations are, so it will be some kind of a coalition, but it's not well defined, and there will be some self-selection there as to saying, yes, I have decided to try to attack the Jewish people even after the majority of them have been returned to from their exile, even after seeing all of the things that will have come along with that. Nonetheless, Gog will decide to go up against them. So Hashem says, so when that happens, so then my raging anger will flare up. So obviously, this is, as always, a metaphor when we speak about emotions from Hashem. The point being, there will be at this point that the fullest form of Hashem's impact on the world, and Hashem's making His presence known in the world, will come out. And I'm telling you that when I am kinati, so the JPS obviously wants to avoid the word jealousy because it's not the correct translation, so they have, for I have decreed my indignation and my blazing wrath. I think a good translation for kina almost always is zealousness, and it's Hashem being zealous for our honor and for our protection, and not for our sake, but because it's Hashem's name at stake here. So he says, if not, on that day, there will be a tremendous, so ra'ash either means noise, but here it probably means, as the JPS English has it, a tremendous earthquake in the land of Israel. V'ra'ashumi panai digi hayam, v'op ha'shamayim v'chayat ha'sadeh v'chol ha'remes ha'remes. It's going to be a tremendous earthquake. Mountains are going to fall, cliffs are going to topple, right? Every wall is going to come crashing down. Rashi says on Hamadregot, so the JPS English had the cliffs. So Rashi says, Ani shemati shehem slaim hazikufim. They're stones that are standing up, v'nirim kinuflim. And they look like they're about to fall, so now they will fall. And he thinks it's various kinds of towers that you build and you set up. So this is going to be in Eretz Yisrael, and so but the reverberations, the impact of it, as Radak notices, the impact of it is going to reach the seas, which aren't right in Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to be such a loud destruction and ra'ash and earthquake that it's going to frighten even the creatures of the sea. And I would just remember the Gemara in Shabbos that we started off with, that this is something that to some extent can be avoided by the proper and careful adherence of Shabbos. The Gemara refers to the three meals. I don't know that it's, I assume that it's not just the fact of eating three meals, but that it's the experience of Shabbos. The experience of Shabbos all throughout one's life will protect one, or will let one be exempt from having to be part of these events of Gog u'Magog and the Rash. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Nekarati alav l'chol harai cherev ne'um Hashem Elokim cherev ish be'achiv tiyah. So this is, I'm going to call throughout all of the mountains for the sword, and they will fight against each other, meaning the earthquake will create such terror and such confusion that the former allies will then turn against each other and start fighting with each other. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, and I will become great, made great. I will be known to be great and to be sanctified, to be holy, and I will be known to in front of the eyes of many, many nations. I'm sorry, I apologize. I skipped Pasuk of Bet. Pasuk of Bet. Benishpatiti ito bedera ubedam. I'm going to judge with Gog and Magog, with pestilence and blood. The geshem shoteif and a driving rain. Vavne el gavish. And hailstones, ash v'gofrit, and fire and sulfur, v'amtir alav v'algapav alamim rabim asharito. I'm going to throw all this down upon him, meaning fire and brimstone and hailstone, all those things that are going to come down, and that's going to be part of what's going to happen. So it's not just going to be an earthquake; it's going to then be all of nature turning against Gog and Magog. How the Jews will be protected from this is not unclear. So again, we have that Gemara that says that those who keep Shabbos carefully will be. What will happen to the rest is unclear, but it might be part of Pasuk of Gimel that I already read, that this will then be a final event, or a second to final event. Pasuk Lamed Tet will be one more discussion or a further enhancement of the discussion of Gog, and then after that we move into a whole different discussion of the future Beit HaMikdash and the future structure of the land of Israel, which will take us to the end of the book of Yechezkel. So these two chapters that we're doing right now, Lamed Chet is what we're doing now, and then Lamed Tet are about Gog and Magog and finishing up that business, and then we'll move on to a whole different topic. So this is really seen as the final event. This way it's understood in Jewish writings, in traditional Jewish writings, that these events are the final events that will once and for all complete the proof and complete the discussion of whether and how God runs the world and whether or not the Jews are God's people and all of those kinds of issues that come up repeatedly will be finally laid to rest in a permanent form. And so that's what's happening here. And the prediction is that it will happen in a violent form. And I don't think that's violence for its own sake. It's violence because Gog refused to learn the lesson and they become the lightning rod for Hashem to use them as a final proof of all of these lessons that we've seen many, many prakim already trying to get across in various ways. So we had each of the nations via Duki and Hashem, and they're supposed to learn it. So here you have evidence that they're not learning it the way they should have, and therefore you then have Gog becoming the vehicle for that final lesson being taught to all. And it will happen in a very distressing and a very upsetting and a very violent kind of a way. And it's almost as if nature will turn against Gog, Magog, and all those armies, and it will happen in the land of Israel. So that is a prediction. Again, and whenever we read a prediction like this, it's a prediction that we would hope would not be required to come true. The way to avoid having that come true is for us and for other nations to accept Hashem and Viedu Kini Hashem before it ever comes to that. So Gog, by the time of Gog and Magog, the Rashi and Radak seem to assume there won't be so much free choice anymore. And Hashem says, I'm going to put these L'chaim, I'm going to lead you by these rings, almost as if he doesn't have the free will to do it or not to do it. But whether or not that could be true of other nations who would have the ability to accept the lessons of Hashem and say, oh, we know that Hashem is running the world and doing kibbutz galiot and all of that. So that seems to me to be an option that might still be out there before the actual time of Gog coming against Eretz Israel. So we read a parak like this and we recognize that it can easily come true. But as it is true of all nevuot lira'ah that don't have a shvua with them, don't have an oath with them, we can hope that events and actions that human beings take will give us a better out, a better way of getting to the same goal of via de'u ki ani Hashem. Have a great day.